This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Friday evening service of September the 4th, 1992, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting.
But Jesus come to be the priest of a new order, and he comes with an endless life. So he is a priest after the ministry of an endless life. He is the first beginning of a brand new creation. And it has pleased God that through him he'll bring many sons to glory. Jesus did only the thing that he heard the Father say. He took his instructions from the Rhema, the present, living, active Word of God. He was the Logos. And the Logos was always, this is the Logos. The first time the Pharisees had any trouble with this Logos was when the Rhema, when the Word became flesh, when Jesus just stepped out of here. Boy, they had trouble with him then, with this Word. He was a Word. They could accept it here, but they couldn't accept it here. Hallelujah. Amen. He riled them, didn't he? Hallelujah. Well, he was the priest. He did only the thing that he could hear his Father say. Can you imagine Jesus? He was the most compassionate. Would you say that he was the most compassionate man that ever walked the earth, wasn't he? He just volunteered to die for us. He volunteered to suffer for us. No suffering, no agony was too excruciating for him to go through on our behalf. Now picture him. For this description, let's picture him walking up to the pool of Siloam in the 5th chapter of St. John. And he sees many people laying around there sick, afflicted, paralyzed, with all kinds of disease. The Bible said there were many. How many do you think that was? Would you say 50? That'd be many, wouldn't it? 100 would be many. More than that would be many. But let's suppose that, let's be conservative and say that there was 50. That would be many. All right? Now, Jesus, with the nature that he had, what do you think he wants to do? Well, he walks up there and surveys that situation, and I believe that Jesus, in himself, had a desire to heal all of them. But he can't do nothing until he hears the Rhema. Now, why can't he do it? Because he's the Son of God. And he's the Lamb of God. But now he's the Son of God. He's coming to Calvary as a Lamb. He is the Son of God, manifested. And he looks, and finally, as he surveys the situation, the Lord points out one man to him. And he says, go heal that man. So the Logos walks over to this man and says, sir, would you be made whole? And he said, well, yeah, I've 38 years. I've been here. And also, but those that came with me have long ago lost hope and left, and now I have no man to help me. And invariably, before I can get into the water, another steps in and uses up that virtue. But you see, the Lord didn't ask him if he wanted to be healed. There's a vast difference in being healed and being made whole. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord wants to make him whole, and he's going to do it. But so the Lord, after some conversation, the Lord says to him, take up your bed and arise, he tells him, and take up your bed and walk. And that guy rose up, stood on his feet, flexed his muscles, and threw the bed on his shoulder and walked off completely whole. And Jesus walked off too and left the others there. He could only do... You can't say that it wasn't right, because God's right. Let all men be liars, and the Word of God is the truth. Hallelujah. So Jesus then is our high priest. And our high priest is listening to the Lord. Read this in chapter 2 of Hebrews. I think that's where we are. In verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. It behooved him to be made like his brethren, so that his brethren could be made like him. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now see. Here, I have a problem here. as a priest of the Lord, exercising this very ministry right here. Mercy and faithfulness. Have to do it with mercy and faithfulness. I believe that it means here that he was merciful in his dealings with people. And he was faithful to God. Now, here's my dilemma. Well, it is my nature just to be merciful. No, it is really my nature just to whatever you came to me with, you know, and I'd like to say, well, let's just forget it. I mean, okay, forget it. Don't worry about it. I mean, that's what I'd like to do. But before I can do that, I'm often reminded, whose priest are you? And sometimes I can't exercise as much mercy as I would like, and yet exercise the faithfulness that he demands. First and foremost, I am his priest. I am his son. I am his priest. And my first, him. And then my secondary obligation is to those that he sends me to minister to. So I can't just on my own mind and thinking and nature, I can't just dismiss everything. There are some things that have to be corrected. We've had enough teaching around here today to get us all saved. Amen. Teaching us the ways of life. And I kind of like it. I'm glad when my shortcomings are made known to me through the anointed word of God. I think, because after all, that's what God's doing for us, isn't it? He's leading us on, and he's enlarging us. Ever so often, the Lord will, the Lord apprehends me, and he says to me something like this, son, he says that funning, or I'm not opposed to a little wit. I don't think the Lord is either, but I think he's opposed to too much. I don't think he wants us to make a circus out of it. And he says, that you do? And I said, yes, Lord. He said, well, I won't you do it anymore. And I said, he said, yeah, I know, and that's all right. But I don't want you to do it anymore. See, Lord ever get you like that?
Yes, he
said, he's trying to get something that you real relate to for a long, long time. You've been getting away with it, and you have. And he says, and he suddenly stops you and says, hey, I want you to do that anymore. You say, well, I've been doing it for 20 years, and well, he says, I know it, and that's all right. I don't want you to do it anymore. That's removing the world from you. Praise the Lord. I would give us some more scripture here. In Isaiah chapter 11, we get back over here in Brother Glenn's territory here. He's giving it to us that night, wasn't he? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I really believe that. I agree with all of that in that article. I sure do. I stand in agreement. In the 11th chapter of Isaiah, we read, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. What are we talking about? We're talking about the branch. He whose name is a branch. Now, he comes out of the stem of Jesse. A rod comes forth out of the stem of Jesse. That's David that comes out of the stem of Jesse. And out of that rod, a branch grows. That's the Lord. And when Matthew begins to write his gospel, he quickly runs the genealogy. He has to come through the genealogy of David. He has to come down the loins of David, because David had the promise that never would a time, would there come a time that he would not have a king that descended directly from him on the throne. And that king now is Jesus. And he descends through the, in the natural, through the loins of David. And Matthew is quick to point this out. Because he is the branch that comes. All right, let's see what he does. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And there's seven spirits here. I do a teaching on the seven spirits of God. But let's skip on down here to the fourth verse. To the third verse. And he shall make of him, after he tells us about these seven spirits, with them, he makes of him a quick understanding. The word quick is often could often be translated same as living. A living understanding, quick understanding, in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Well, how is he going to do it if he can't take his... But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and so. He's going to judge with judge righteous judgment, but he can't do it by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear. I tell you, it befalls the lot of the manifested sons of God to bring forth a ministry of judgment. We recoil, but it's part of our ministry. The end time will come that the sons of God will bring forth a ministry of judgment. And when judgment is in the land, what happens? The righteous learn, the men learn righteousness when judgment is in the land. Now if we survey this quickly, hear the Apostle Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, "Know ye not? Or don't you know?" Well, in chapter 2, in verse 2 of chapter 6, he says, "The saints shall judge the world." Anybody reading with me? Did he say in verse 2 that the saints shall judge the world? Does it say that in verse 2? I'm not turning over there. I want you to confirm this. All right, now, you go on to verse 3, and he says that you shall judge angels. Well, who's going to judge angels? He said the saints shall judge the world, and you shall judge angels. The sons of God is going to judge angels. But we can't do it until we can judge, can bypass the sight and the hearing. These natural senses will get us in trouble. And until we can bypass them, we'll not be able to judge this righteous judgment. And for these hundreds of years, God has been looking for a man, a cooperative man, a many-membered man company, sons of God. And let me, before someone takes offense, the sons of God can be female or male in this age. And it pleases God that by this company, the world will be judged. By this company, angels will be judged. Let's turn over to Jude. Judas is one chapter, you know, just before Revelations here. And in I believe it's the sixth verse here. We will turn over there and look at it in Jude. Verse 6. Yes, it is 6. "And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in darkness. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great." They're going to be judged. These are the angels, the fallen angels, the sons of men that married perhaps the daughters the sons of God that married the daughters of men, and they created monsters. Hallelujah. Somebody said, "Well, that's just the unsaved marrying the saved." Well, they do it every day, and it doesn't create giants, does it? Hallelujah. Amen. No, it was something really unusual. Yeah. This word is true. And all men that don't believe it is deceived. And no wonder that they're deceived, for the Bible says false apostles and prophets arise up that will receive if it were possible, they'd deceive the very elect. Now, there is an elect and a very elect. And I'm talking about the very elect tonight. There is an elect out of which comes a very elect, the cream of the crop. You see, I told you about training, so heavy, and the night before we were going into France liberate France, they pulled us into a big warehouse, and the commanding officer of my... I was in a very special unit, and it wasn't all that big, but it was in an infantry division. And the colonel, who was the commanding officer of that outfit, came in there, and he was an old holdover from the cavalry, rough talking, rough looking, and indeed sunburnt and weather beaten. And he still carried his little old quirt that he used to whip his horse with, and he'd always tapping himself on the leg, and he didn't mind tapping you with it either. he had been in World War One, and I like him. I got to know him quite well, and he got to know me. Could call me by name, and he came in and he was introduced, because we all knew who he was. And he opened up to us like this. He said, "Well, greetings, men." He said, "I have got news for you. tomorrow, by this time, a lot of you will be dead.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we knew, we had known for a long time that was a possibility. But he said, I just talked to to General Eisenhower, and I asked him to just let me go and leave you all here. I could do it by myself, but the general don't think so. But he said, so I'll be here while you're doing that, and then you'll get everything fanned out, and I'll come. He said, I want you to know this. You're not the cream of the crop, but you're the cream of the cream. Yeah. That's what St. Matthew is saying when he says, the elect, the very elect. We was the cream of the cream. We were the very elect of the elect, which was the whole division, that we was a special unit in it. He said, no men have ever been trained more forcibly than you. You are superior to the enemy. Just remember what you know and fight hard, and I'll be expecting to hear from you. Remember that you are inferior to none. You're the best there is. If you can't do it, nobody can. Well, that really, and as he did that, you know, I felt that patriotism and my goosebumps, my hair stood up, my curls came out, and I felt like the bravest guy in the world. And then we got on the planes, and it ain't far across that channel. At 160 miles an hour, you can knock 31 miles off in almost no time. And we got airborne, and I got scared. Well, I got scared. I was so scared that my scared was scared. Just as scared as I am. Nobody looked too scared, but I don't think I did either. I was trying to keep from looking scared because I was in charge of this men on this plane. And we had already knew that when we got there, the pilot would, navigator's going to put us down, right? So it didn't, I was trying to think, well, you know, I don't want to look scared and scare these men to death before we get shot. And so I was praying under my breath, because I didn't want nobody to know I was praying, you know, because it was macho. It wasn't hip to be religious in the army I was in. Man, you'd been a wimp. But I couldn't help but believe in God. Hallelujah. But it looked like this might be too much for him, and I hadn't been doing much for him lately. And I said, well, all right, Lord, I guess I'm going to die on that beach. That seems to be a foregone conclusion. I don't even care if we're looking at the beach. But just let me die like a soldier. If anybody survives to tell it, well, I'd like for him to speak well of me. And I was scared. And then about the time I'm thinking all this, pilot speaks back through the intercom to the fuselage up there, and, you know, hurting the thing. And he says, hey, we got to know each other pretty good, and he called me, Texas. Hey, Texas, in 2 minutes, I want you to get them crayons off of my aircraft. And you've got 30 seconds to get all 50 of them off of there. And if you don't get them off of there in that time, they'll be over the target, and it'll be, you know, they can't get back up on the cliff. And I said, well, we'll just give us a buzzer, and we'll evacuate your aircraft. So he says, well, in 1 minute I'm going to start countdown. He said, is there anything I can do for you? And I said, yeah, if you can get old Colonel Jones on that radio, I really need to hear him one more time tell me how tough I am. Well, we're going to judge angels. Well, I don't need to tell you I survived. Here I am. I'll tell you about these angels. Well, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, I believe it is. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Well, he says that God didn't spare these angels that sinned, but he says, same as Jude does, that they've been reserved. Now, here's the situation. it has pleased God that by humanity, you know, when he created Adam, he said, I'm giving you dominion over everything that among lost that dominion when he sinned. And we've been all these hundreds of years, thousands of years, as a matter of fact, restoring that dominion. And we have not, the dominion has not been, we have not exercised the fullness of the dominion yet. We only use one-tenth of our brain, our scientists tell us. But when the manifestation comes, we'll use it all. Hallelujah. Knowledge shall greatly increase. And the whole world, in Romans 8 and verse 19, the whole our world, the whole creation, is waiting and groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It doesn't say they're waiting for rapture to take place. They're waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. For there is a great cloud of witnesses that without us could not be made perfect in the grandstands of heaven watching us run this race. And without us, they can't be made perfect. The sons of God has to be perfected, manifested, and begins to turn the kingdoms of this world to our Lord and His Christ. And if you can receive it, the Lord is Jesus and we are His Christ. Christ is the anointed. The Lord and His anointed and the sons of God are the anointed. Of course, the whole body of Christ is anointed, but I'm telling you about a spearhead, a group of people that God is bringing to perfection. These are the first fruits, and after they are manifested, things will transpire very fast. Now, the angels fail. You know about the fallen angels. They fail, and God had them apprehended and put in jail. And they're in darkness, and they're chained down there, and they're like somebody in jail waiting, being held without bond, waiting for a judge to hear their case, waiting for a lawyer to defend them. And so they have been held in darkness, in everlasting chains, awaiting the day that God can bring forth a company of men, a sonship company that can judge these angels. I wouldn't even know how to begin to judge them. Would you? How would you like to undertake that job right now? You wouldn't like it at all, would you? You know that you would be inadequate. I wouldn't know what to do about this. But I don't fear it, and because if I'm still alive when the translation takes place, if I'm still here in this body, I'll be translated, changed. And when the sons of God are manifested, they receive immunity from all things. Well, it's not too much to believe that they could receive immunity. The three Hebrew children, brother, they sang about, that was in the fire, they had immunity to the fire. You know, you can become immune to a lot of things, can't you? You can take so much certain kind of medicine, any kind of medicine, I guess you become immune to it. And the way they get some kinds of serum for treat antidotes is, you know, like a rattlesnake bite a horse. But I have a lot of dogs out on the farm that moxin that's poisonous, a rattlesnake bite them, wouldn't even swallow them. They didn't get immune to them. I bet you could have used their blood straight for them. I know, but anyway, but there's no way that I know of, and I don't know of any anybody that has been made immune to fire, just through natural processes, do you? But they were, and it was seven times hotter than that furnace was built to hold. And when they come out, they didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't even have no hair singed. It hadn't done nothing but just burned off the buns that they put on them to throw them in there. They were completely released. So it's not a strange thing that God could give us immunity. I tell you, at this point, I tell you that the Lord gave me well, I don't know, it was a vision some years back. Now, it hadn't been that many years back either. And he spoke to me. What I seen was a great, I said tidal wave, but the Lord didn't call it a tidal wave. And I don't know if it was a tidal wave of water and winds or it could have been things, buildings just crumbling. And I tried to recognize the geographical location. And I know that it was a beach town near the ocean front, and I seen just buildings crumble on it, but it was the beginning of the perilous times, the destruction that comes at that time. And the Lord, I was fearful, and the Lord spoke to me and said, when you see this, the next time you see this begin to happen, it'll be real, and you proceed immediately to your prayer closet. This is what the Lord said to me. He spoke directly to me, but I take it that it would probably mean newer than just me, but he said to me, proceed immediately to your prayer closet, and I'll meet you there. I will come to you there. And I will, at that time, give you immunity over all things. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. And I shall send you forth, he says. And then he spoke, sending me forth with a mighty army.
Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
And then he spoke of sending me forth with a mighty army. And the nations of this world would at that time begin to become the nations of our Lord and of his Christ. Well, every time there has been a catastrophe, people have asked me, is this part of your vision? Well, I really don't know. I don't know any more about it than that. But that's what the Lord spoke to me, and it makes me think that perhaps I might be available in that hour and ready to be manifested. A son of God given immunity over everything. You talk about deliverance. It'll be a wave of deliverance. Hallelujah. And you talk about ready to receive deliverance, there will be a readiness. Well, the reason more people don't get delivered in the processes that we're now employed in is because they won't receive. There's power here to do it, but a person has to receive. And you receive by faith. And people just mechanically come. And can't muster faith to believe for deliverance in a lot of cases. And, of course, thank God, a lot of people do get delivered, don't they? So we're going to judge angels, but we have to wait. We can't do that while we judge by the seeing of the eye and the hearing of the ear. Now, every time the Lord tries to move through me in discernment, you know, discernment by the Spirit and discernment of the Spirit, every time the Lord has tried to do it, I've tried to filter through my intellect. And almost every time that he's tried to do it, my intellect gets in the way. And when I prophesy, many times I'm prophesying. And when I prophesy, I try to just throw my intellect out of there. Just don't let it get in there. And I'll hear myself say something that I wouldn't have said if I had had time to sift it through here. And I have said things that astounded me, and I wondered, did I really say that? And I said, I've got to get the tape and see if I did. And sure enough, I did. And had I had time to measure it and weigh it and censor it, I want to censor it. And if I'd had time to do that, I wouldn't have brought forth that ministry, perhaps. So I'm trying to learn how to flow past my intellect. And if I can flow past my intellect, I'll quit judging by the seeing of the eye and the hearing of the ear. But so far, I have not perfected that virtue. But it is mine, and I shall one day proceed into that, where I can bypass all the natural senses easily. And I do it. I have done it. And inasmuch as I have ministered in that dimension for 5 minutes, proves to me that there is a place like that. And inasmuch as I've been there for 5 minutes, proves to me that I could move in up there. Hello. I mean, I have proven it to myself. I have convinced myself. I have proven that it is available. I have been there. I was there for a few minutes. That makes me know enough. And if I am willing and obedient enough, I can just move into that realm. To him that overcometh shall I make to be a pillar in the temple of my God. A pillar, P-I-L-L-A-R, is one that supports the structure. And when you are made a pillar, you go no more out. All the lofty places the Spirit has lifted me into, I have been able to attain unto it, but I right soon find myself back down to this plateau, which I'm not griping about this plateau. It's far above some that I explored. But it makes me know that there is a place. There is a path that the fowl knoweth not of. Neither has the vulture's eye seen, and the lion's whelps have not trodden it down, and the fierce lion has not even passed by it. Oh, glad for them The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with singing. And the glory of Lebanon shall be given to them. And the excellency of Carmel and of Sharon. And they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, our God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. Our God will come and save us. Then shall the blind eyes be opened, and the deaf ears unstopped. The lame man shall leap as an hart, the blind eyes shall be opened, the deaf ears unstopped. The lame man shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And in the wilderness shall waters break forth, and springs in the desert. The parched land shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass now with reeds and rushes. Highway shall be there, and the way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, neither ravenous beast shall go up thereon. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sadness and sorrow shall flee away. Oh, praise the Lord. I do not hesitate to tell you that I was going to read in Isaiah, and I'm beginning to wind down now in Isaiah. Let's see, where is this? In Isaiah. It's in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Another one that we all can quote, but I'll turn over and read it. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall come no end. Now, I do not hesitate to say that the moment a person gives their heart to God, surrenders to him, from that very moment, God purposes to set up his government in their lives. That very moment he sets up his government in their lives, he plans to subdue this land, this ground completely. He plans to subdue our mind and give us his mind. He plans to subdue and to take full control and to direct our entire life. He sets up his government within, and he plans to fulfill himself in us. Hallelujah. I preach to some people. I know there are groups that if you just mention law, they just draw it back from the word. Of course, everything's scary if you don't understand it. I mean, I don't have any problem with the law because I understand the law. But I'll tell you this, that God did not create one thing in this earth that he didn't make a law to regulate that thing that he created. Amen. Hallelujah. Everything that he created a law to regulate that thing. To give it boundaries, an expansion, to regulate its territory, its domain. He has a law that regulates it. Hallelujah. Now, there is a royal law. Hallelujah. And there is a law of liberty. And it is this law of liberty that we are seeking after. But you see, there was a movement that found the law of liberty. And they flaunted their liberty to those that had not found the law of liberty. Those that thought they had. And they had liberty. They flaunted their liberty, and they offended the old order and brought themselves under more bondage than they were under before they found their liberty. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, your liberty stops just before it offends me. Hallelujah. The law of love. Your liberty, you have liberty, but it has to stop before it offends me. Your liberty cannot invade my liberty. Hallelujah. Now, there is a law there is a royal liberty that we have looked for, and the perfect law of liberty. Hallelujah. And the perfect law of liberty is that we have as much liberty, we have liberty to do what we will until it becomes offensive to somebody that's walking with God. You can't, you know, I don't belittle people that over what they believe about God. I believe a lot of things about Him I didn't used to believe. The Lord has brought me this way, for which I'm grateful. I believe He has been preparing me for the great onslaught at the end of what we call this age, to bring us into the kingdom age. Now, when we come into the kingdom age, we're still in ministry. That great cloud of witnesses have joined us, and we have been given immunity, and we're ministering in the kingdom age. My first impression of the kingdom, but as I studied the Word, I soon learned that it was also a dispensation of corruption. Nobody told me that. I didn't read it in anybody's book. Nobody told me. I never heard the Word's voice. But I said, by the unction of the Holy Ghost, that the kingdom age is an age of correction. It is the final touches and corrections that brings us to perfection. And there will be a child dies at 100 years old because life is being lengthened because of righteousness. After all, what kills us? Sin. As sin diminishes, life increases. You see. And so we're going to minister through the kingdom age until the last enemy, who's the last enemy of death, is put under feet. Yeah, men will pack lunches and go to work. School teachers will teach school. There will still be billboard signs, but they won't be advertising Seagram 7. Amen. There will still be births, but there won't be any abortions.
Hallelujah.
Well, it's a possibility that there might be some just at the beginning and it's in the transition period, but beyond that, there certainly won't be. Because in the kingdom age, if you just, when we get into the kingdom age, your ways, if you just think evil, you'll feel somebody tapping you on the shoulder. Hallelujah. And correction will be very easy. Now, let me tell you this, that you think that, but so, well, I thought that the kingdom age was utopia. It will be, but that's at the other end. There's 1,000 years here, and there's some 100 years of it that's not quite. You see, we'll still be dealing with the effects of what has already happened. Way into the kingdom age. If the kingdom age was ushered in now. All right, what's the number one problem in America? Drugs, isn't it? All right, let's suppose that we gathered up all the drugs in America, in the world. Let's make it worldwide, because this is worldwide. We gather up the last milligram, and we destroy it completely, burn it. Can't no more be made. We eradicate the places where it's grown or manufactured, and there can't no more be produced. And now the kingdom age is ushered in, like that. Now, you say, well, good, we're rid of the drug problem. Not quite. Not quite, because there's 10,000 16-year-old girls out there that's pregnant, and they have rode their mind on drugs. And then a few months from now, they're going to give birth to a baby, and the kingdom age has already begun. And a baby's born out here, thousands of babies will be born that are already addicted, already brain damaged. And 50 years from now, that baby, some of those babies that are born will be having to be confined by nervous reflexes and battering their head against bars. And it's all, we're in the kingdom age, but there are no more drugs, but of the last age. So we go way into the kingdom age, eradicating the effects of the devil. And the further we get, the more purified becomes the kingdom age and the kingdom people.
until finally, and this is the finale, that we suddenly rise up to realize that we are now, we rise up to see and know a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And the old things shall be no more remembered. But it'll take some ministry to bring us there. So our ministry is not over. You ask me, what will you do? What will you be doing 50 years from now? I think that I'll be ministering in the kingdom age. Hallelujah. Walking with God, fulfilling the very purpose of God has, and eradicating the entire influence of all the accumulated evil that has been heaped upon the world and God's creation for all of these hundreds of years. This is a lofty calling, and only those that are called to it. If you cannot visualize it, if you cannot see it in the Scriptures, you may not get to work in the kingdom. But if you don't work in the kingdom, there is a people that will go by the way of the grave, that will stay in the grave until after we bring them in, bring in the kingdom to the new heaven and new earth. The rest of the dead rise not again for 1,000 years. And oh, how I wish I had time to go back and minute detail all of this. I don't. Maybe another time. Praise the Lord. If you've never heard this, if you don't know this, and as you've heard, if you have felt something tugging and surging within you, and you have felt a tugging and an urge to do this, to be this, it is a very good indication that you are destined to be a son of God. Hallelujah. If deep has called unto deep, and you felt the very Spirit of God dealing with your spirit, it is a very good indication to be a son. Therefore it would be wise, saith the Lord, if thou would begin from this moment forward to program your life in the order that the sons of God shall walk in. For I tell you now that I have set up my government within your being, yea, and I shall not cease to improve you. I shall not cease to increase you. I shall not cease to teach you, yea, and to enlarge you in knowledge and understanding and in all avenues of, until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And then I shall not cease to work with you again until you have come to the realization that you are in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I tell you, saith the Lord, that I have many things in store for you, many things that I should like to say unto thee, however it be it, because a dullness of hearing, yea, I shall not say more this night, saith the Lord, but I shall instruct thee again, and thou shalt know that you've been in the presence of the Almighty. Yea, and thou shalt feel in the wee hours of the night, yea, the Spirit of the Lord shall wake you, and you know, and you will know that you've heard the word of revelation, yea, and the prophetic trumpets are sounding, yea, the prophets are proclaiming the word of God. It is a true word, a powerful word, saith the Lord. You should just consider and think that tomorrow will be like today, and things will go on next year as they went on last year and this year. I tell you now that things shall not continue the same. Yea, for the Lord is doing a quick work in the end of the age. Yea, and He is using whomever will come to Him. And the Lord says unto thee this night, yea, come. I mean, wake up your spirit. I wake up your spirit, and you come in your spirit to me, saith the Lord. You have only to whisper, here am I, Lord. I should desire to work in your vineyard. I should desire to work in the climax of the age. Yea, and I should desire to have the immunity that you have spoken spoken of, dear Lord. And I tell you now, that you ask of me good things, I shall not give you sour things. I say it. You ask sweet grapes, and I won't give you sour grapes. I say it, the Lord, God. Yea, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom of God. Yea, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Yea, that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, saith the Lord. Yea, begin to ponder these great truths and seek them out. Yea, study the word and see if this be true, saith the Lord. Yea, if your spirit speaks to you now, know that the Lord is calling unto thee. Deep is calling unto deep, and you are being stirred. And I tell you this, if you rebel against the Lord, you shall be most miserable. Yea, but if you shall say, here am I, and submit to the Lord, yea, I shall make you a happy people, a joyful people, yea, and a prosperous people, for the Lord has spoken, and who is he that can gainsay what thus saith the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise the lovely Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift your hands and give him a praise offering. He's among you as one that ministers. Ah, yes. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. I am sending enlargement among you tonight, saith the Lord, even this very moment. I'm enlarging your ability to receive and to retain, yea, and even to minister out, saith the Lord. Yea, you hold up your cup, and I'm filling it to the running over, saith the Lord. Yea, that thou shalt have ministry that will sustain thee, yea, and sustain others. I tell you that you are indeed your brother's keeper, saith the Lord God. Yea, and you shall walk before me in holiness, yea, and I shall take notice and know that you are one of the sons of God, that it has pleased I, the Lord, to bring to glory, saith the Lord. Yea, you are a peculiar people, known well unto me. I number every hair of your head. I know every intent of your heart. There is nothing about you that I do not know, saith the Lord. For I am your creator. I am your preserver. I am your keeper, saith the Lord, thou God. I am your shepherd. And the good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. You are the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Yea, and I shall minister to thee in kindness. Yea, I shall correct thee with the rod when necessary. Yea, but I shall love thee and cherish thee. Yea, I shall draw thee into my bosom, and thou shalt rest in a safe place. For I am the Lord. Yea, I have spoken, and you have heard. Yea, be not hearers only, but be ye doers of the word. What can I do, Lord, you must say. Yea, I feel that this is the truth, Lord. I'd like to be one of these. Yes, yes, and I, the Lord, shall surely hear and answer your prayer, saith the Lord. Seek me with a whole heart. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said, Lord, your face will I seek. Hide not your face far from me. Put me not away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Thou hast sustained me through all the storms and trials I've come. It was by the grace of God that I've come this far, and by the grace of God we'll go much farther. I have taught you the lofty ways of God. Hallelujah. And I feel good about it. God bless you real good. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hands again in praise and adoration to him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Lord, now I take the authority and the privilege to invoke the choicest blessings from heaven for this people that have been so gracious, such gracious hearers tonight. And their hearts have been filled with the Word and the Spirit of God. I invoke trust blessings for them tonight. May they sleep well and return in the morning to the next service with a renewal of strength. It is in Jesus' name we pray. You're dismissed. God bless you real good. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.